we're going to have more strength. Now, there's a fill-in sheet in your bulletin that you can take it out. Follow along with us this morning. We're going to be looking at a portion of Scripture in Ecclesiastes, which is quite familiar, but we're trying to break it out this morning so we can learn from it. We're going to look at another portion in Proverbs, and then a third portion in Proverbs 30. So let's just launch in and see what the Lord has for us this morning. 1 + 1 = more strength, because there's more, and here's the first word, synergy. Synergy. S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y. Synergy. It's a word that that some of you are quite familiar with. Others of you, I hate that word. I don't know what it means. I don't know what they're talking about, that the sum is greater than, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. But it is a concept that is amazing. And I've shared it before, and I don't want to use the same illustration, but just let me say it, and then we'll go on to another illustration. If you have a plank that holds 100 pounds, and if you put 101 pounds on it, it breaks. You have another plank that holds 100 pounds, and you put 101 pounds on it, it breaks. You put them together, you would think it would break at 200 pounds, but it doesn't. It holds way more than 200 pounds. There's something about the two of them together that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Synergy is an amazing principle. I was reading about it this week just to sort of understand it a little bit more. But it works in so many aspects, in almost every sphere of life except one. And they said mathematics. You know, mathematics is just what it is. I mean, 2 + 2 = 4. You can't say 2 + 2 = 5. But it's the only area, apparently, that synergy doesn't work in. Synergy works in so many. Now, here's your verse that supports this. And it's in Ecclesiastes 4:9. It's written on your sheet. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. I mean, something is coming out of two working together. The reward, the benefit of two working together is better than just one and one. And as I was reading about it this week, it was talking about problem solving. And if you have a problem, and say you have three people, and you have this problem, so you give it to this person, say you work on this, and they go in the room and they work on the problem, and then you give it to another person, say, now you work on the problem, put them in this room, and then you take the third person, same problem, here you work on it in this room, and then when at the end of an hour or two, whatever time, you bring them together, they will have worked on this problem. But here's what they found in actually testing of this. I mean, the clinical testing of this. You put the three people together in a room and give them the problem. Consistently, the results of the three working together in a room is more than each one of them working on it separately. It's just another aspect of synergy. We're talking about you can't do it alone. Now, when we say you can't, I'm sure there's some perfectionists here that say, oh, yeah, I can do some things alone. I'm sort of one of those people, too. If I heard a message like that, you can't do it alone, I'd be saying, well, there's some things you can do alone. But you catch the concept here. Yes, there's some things we can do alone, but we can do things together better. Two are better than one. And there's some things that God wants us to accomplish and calls us to accomplish. You cannot accomplish alone. You're not meant to accomplish it alone. You're going to frustrate yourself when you're trying to accomplish it alone. Now, I know that is a concept. You know that is a concept. But how often do we work on things alone? And so this whole thrust of this message is that 1 + 1, you bring someone else in, you're going to have more strength. Something better is going to come out of it. This is a statement I wrote down. The value added by synergy is created primarily by the relationship among the parts. That is how they are interconnected. So it's not just putting three people in a room to say now they're going to have a better result than individually. But something's got to happen in the relationship in the room, the sharing of the problem. In fact, it said, if it comes back to my mind now as when I was reading about this, it said if they try to get along with each other in the sense that they will not contradict or not bring up an opposing view, they don't get as many results. As if, you know, someone said, well, I see it this way. And then someone said, no, I don't see it that way, I see it this way. But in the interrelationship, as long as it's not something that causes the relationship to blow up, if they'll work together, bringing their contrasting view, something better comes out of it. And so we don't all have to think alike. We don't have to see things alike. You don't have to say, well, if I'm going to fit in here, I've got to fit the pattern. No, you can be yourself as long as you'll fit with others. It's almost like a jigsaw puzzle. You know, there are places you need to just fit. And so you are different, but you fit. And so there's this thing of I maintain my view and who I am as a person, but at the same time I have a picture like a jigsaw. You know, one piece of the jigsaw puzzle will not show the whole picture. You need them all put together in its right order, in its right place, in order for the beautiful picture to be revealed. And so it is, as this verse begins to challenge us in this regard. Now, the Bible tells us be careful who you join with, because there's some people who do not have the heart of God. It says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? So there's some sifting and analyzing of who you're going to join with, who you have close friendships with. It says, don't go with a furious man or you'll be like them. I mean, if you're with someone that's always angry and they can't control their temper and their reactions are always a certain way, the Bible says, don't connect with that kind of person. So you need to surround yourself with people that first have a heart for God. They might see it differently than you do, but they have a heart for God, and you can walk together when there's a spiritual unity in that. Surround yourself with people that desire greater things, that are not content just to be who they are, that have a hunger for the Lord. Because if people hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled. And we are the salt of the earth. And one aspect of salt, it makes people thirsty. And so you need to be around people that make you thirsty for God. Be around people that dream and think about what they can do for God. Surround yourself with people who want your interest as well. That they're not just selfish people. And as Christians, this is the main characteristic of a Christian. That we die to self and we are filled with God's love, which puts other people before ourselves. And that was the first message, more love. You've got to die to yourself so you put other people first. Now, this is all part of this synergy process. Finding people, connecting with people. Yes, they're different than you. They may have different views from you, but they have the same heart as you. They have a hunger for God. And they're wanting us all together to be something greater. We're not just being ourselves, and everything has to focus on us. But we're able to amalgamate ourselves into the whole, contribute our part so that the greater good comes forward. So that's the first fill-in, synergy. Now here's the next verse in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 10. It says, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. And here's the second point why it's greater to have more strength, is that there's more recovery. And that's your second fill-in, recovery. Recovery. Just know that there are going to be times when you need to recover. God designed it into our makeup of the world. I mean, we sleep 8 hours a day. We need to recover. We recover through that rest. There will be times when you need to recover. Recover from what? Well, maybe just weariness of a task. Or you fall down, as this scripture says. Someone, you're progressing, you're going forward. Someone trips, they fall, they bruise their knee, they hurt themselves. Talking to one of the elders this week and was talking about a shoulder. He'd fallen on the ice and had hurt his shoulder. We fall. We fall. Now, we know it in the natural. You think you're going to go through life without falling? No, we look back as a kid. We fell more as a child. And we fall more as a new Christian, a young Christian. But even mature people fall. Now, you need someone around that's going to help you up. Why do we not have people to help us up? Well, here's one thing. We don't want anyone to know we've fallen. We want everyone to think, I never fall. And if we do fall, we don't going to let on like we've fallen. I mean, you might have a bruised knee and limping and come in. Well, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine, doing good. And yet you've fallen. We don't want people to know. It's a bit of a pride, but it keeps us from receiving. When you fall, it's in God's plan that someone will help you up. But you can't help. You won't have someone help you up unless you let them know you need some help. If you don't put up a hand to say, here, help me. There's no shame. I don't know what word to use. Don't feel bad. There's no embarrassment in falling. The only embarrassment is if you stay down. It's just a given we're all going to fall. You know, it says in 1 John, that, you know, I write to you that you don't sin. But if anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father. You know, it's not that God intends for us to sin, but he knows we will sin. And so it's just a given. Some people don't have communion because they sin. I remember as a boy growing up, there was a man in our church hardly ever had communion. And someone, you know, talked to them, and he said, wow, I don't feel like I'm good enough. Always something happens during the week. See, the thing is, you're not good enough. I mean, that's why we have a Savior, because we need saving. We need forgiveness. So it's only the hard heart that keeps us from coming from the table. You know, receiving in an unworthy manner, that keeps us. But just the matter of sinning and failing, we are going to fall. We're going to fail. But you need to have someone that helps you up. You need someone around you that can encourage you, strengthen you, and help you up. And here's the third in the Ecclesiastes, the next verse, Ecclesiastes 4:11. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can one be warm alone? And so here's the third fill-in, comfort. Comfort level. All of these principles are pointing to the same thing, but coming at it from different aspects. What happens when you grow cold in your relationship with the Lord? You need someone to warm you up. You need someone to rekindle your desire. How does that happen? Other people around you. You are meant to be part of a body. The strength, the nourishment, the life is in the body. You're not meant to get it on your own. You will grow cold on your own. I remember hearing the story about a man who came to visit the pastor, and this is years gone by, and they were sitting around a fireplace, and the man was talking about, he didn't know, you know, he was struggling with so many things. He said, I just seem, you know, he said, to not be able to maintain my life in the Lord. And so the pastor got up from it didn't say anything, just got up from the table and took a few embers out of the fireplace and just pushed them off to the side. And the man, you know, watched, but they continued to talk more and more about how he was feeling, how he was feeling cold, didn't know how he was going to maintain. And after a while, as they watched, those embers on the side just got cooler and colder and went out. And then the pastor went over with the shovel and he just pushed them back into the fire. Suddenly they ignited again, and suddenly it dawned on the man what the pastor was trying to share. You know, the reason you're getting cold is you're separating yourself from the body. You're not in fellowship. You're trying to do this on your own. You're thinking I'm all right, and you think you can maintain your fire and your zeal and you know, on your own, but you separate yourself out. You miss a few Sundays. You miss the fellowship. You get busy, and now suddenly you're feeling cold. You need to get pushed back into the body. Push back in where there's a fire, where there's a warmth. Your comfort. Your enjoyment. I really think our enjoyment in the Lord comes from being together with others. Because we are the body of Christ. And many times the joy of the Lord is by being with someone else. And you experience God's joy and life and peace. It's through someone else ministering to us. Now here's the fourth one, Ecclesiastes 4:12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And now this directly to this point of strength. Number four is strength. You're going to have more strength. One could be overpowered. Again, he just comes over and over these points. And can you really lay hold of it this morning? You're going to be overpowered if you're trying to live the Christian life on your own. You could be overpowered. You're not meant to do it on your own. But two can withstand. Who has your back? The old days when warriors were fighting, they would stand back to buy it back as they were fighting. They were covered by the other soldiers' back. The wingmen on, apparently, I have never flown these jets, but watched enough movies. You need a wingman that's protecting your flank. You know, we need someone protecting us. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Three now. And the way it's intertwined together, the strength of the three. Just think of the synergy that comes with three cords being put together and the way it's entwined and when it's pulled. It's not quickly broken. You are a single cord. You're a single strand. Pressure can snap, can make you weak, and you can fall. But you entwine your life in the church. You've heard me say it many, many times, and I am convinced of it. If there was one thing that a father or parents can do in a home is make sure their family is in the church. There's something about being in the church. When I was growing up, we were always at church. We went on Tuesday night was Bible study. Friday night was youth meeting. And my parents didn't always go to the youth meeting. Many times they did. In those days, the youth participated, but the adults all sat at the back. And so sometimes they would come, but I would go. And then Sunday morning and Sunday night, my life was in the church. My friends were in the church. My attitudes, my thoughts were in the church. And I did a lot of other things, and I went to high school and university, but much of the strength that kept me through those challenging years where my faith was being challenged by outward things is that I was knit into the fabric of the church. I'm really saddened when I see families drifting off, and there's always good reasons. Well, we're out late and we're retired. Or my kids have sports on Sunday mornings and I have to take them to the sports. I tell you, what it teaches the child is that sports are more important than church. I mean, really, I can't imagine my dad's response if I ever said to him, "Dad, we have football practice on Sunday morning." Can't imagine what he would have said to me. You know, you might say, well, that's a bygone day. Why is it bygone? The strength of these verses are still here. The truth of these verses are still here. You get into the strength, you get knit into the church, and your values are there. You're going to be pulled. There's going to be a strain. But the more you're knit into the fabric of the church, there's a strength in the church. One plus more equals more strength. Let's go on. Well, let me just ask this question before we go on. If there a three-strand cord is not easily broken, who are the other two strands in your life? Can you put a name to the other strands in your life? I think you should be able to. Who is your spiritual life wrapped around? Who's helping to hold you spiritually? You need to be knit into it. You need to be part of a three-cord strand for you to be strong in the Lord. Here's our next verse we want to use, Proverbs 14:4. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. Strange verse. Here's your fill-in. There are means to increase strength. There are means to increase strength. If you had a cart full of wood and you have to move it a mile down the road, it's nice to have an ox. Put the ox in front of the cart. The ox will pull the cart. You want to plow a field. You got an implement. You try to get out there and push that furrow, even if it's a one-furrow plow. You get two or three people trying to push the furrow. It would be a hard, hard job. But if you hook the ox up to the plow, it will plow the field. Much increase comes by the strength of an ox. But it says something else. Where there's no oxen, the trough is clean, the crib is clean. And there's two aspects of that. First of all, you don't have to spend any resource or any money to buy food for the ox. If you have no ox, you don't have to feed it. Nor do you have to clean out the manure from the crib. I grew up on a farm. I know all about cleaning out manure from a calf pen. It just happens every day. Listen, you could say, I don't have an ox because I don't have to feed it, and I don't have to clean up after it. I don't have to deal with the smell. I don't have an ox. But you don't have much strength either. Where there's no oxen, the trough is clean, the crib is clean, but much increase comes from the strength of an ox. Now listen, relationships are messy sometimes. People are people. Humans are humans. The church is the church. Someone said, the church is like Noah's Ark. You know, it's the saving implement. Get in the ark and you'll be saved. But someone said, did you ever think about the odor that was in that ark? Listen, it's messy when you're dealing with people, relationships. You've got to put an energy to keep the life of that relationship strong and healthy. You got to clean up it. You got to clean your attitudes up. You got to day by day say, I'm not going to hold on to that slight or that hurt, or I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to that person and what happened there. And yes, when there's relationships, when you have people around you that are going to strengthen you and help you, it doesn't mean that it's a free ride. I don't have to do it. You have to tend the relationship. You have to feed the relationship. You got to clean up after the relationship. But if you do it, much increase comes from the ox. There is a means to give you a strength. But understand that there's some tending you have to do to it. Now here's our last fill-in is Proverbs 30 and verse 24. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. So they're little. They don't have much strength. But because of their wisdom, They're going to overcome. And it lists four things. Here's your fill-in. Examples of increased strength from nature. Here's number one. Prepare ahead with others. Prepare ahead with others. Here's the first example it gives. The ants. The ants are people not strong. They're not strong. Ants are not strong. Yet they prepare their food in the summer. They scurry around and they work together and prepare their food and they can last through the winter. They make preparation. And if you want to be strong in whatever you're doing, prepare with others. Whatever. You want to have a strong marriage? Well, I'll work on it on my own. Why don't you prepare ahead? Why don't you do some premarital counseling? I don't marry anyone without premarital counseling. Because they need some help. They need some things. You need to prepare ahead. You need to think. You need to be going to the marriage ministry events. Why don't you say, well, I don't have to go to the marriage. We have a pretty good marriage. You know, I've discovered over the years, the people with the best marriages that you look at and you say, wow, that's an example. They go to every marriage seminar. What are you doing here? You guys have a great marriage. But that's why they have a great marriage. They're planning ahead. They're thinking ahead. They're constantly feeding into how can they have a better marriage. And you can do this in anything, any field, any endeavor you want to do. Be sure that you prepare ahead with others. Here's the second one. Be comfortable with hardship. Here's the next example. The rock badgers are feeble. Feeble. See, they're weak. They're feeble folk. Yet they make their homes in the crags. Hilly country. Places where it's hard to burrow. They make their home among the rocks. Now this is what just speaks to me. They make their home there. Are you at home in hardship? Are you at home in uncomfortable circumstances? Or you have no toleration for this? Everything has to be just right. Everybody has to treat me right. Everybody should speak right to me. Everything just needs to be right. Are you able to go through some hard times, some difficult times, some rocky times? You have to be comfortable in rocky places if you're going to be successful. Everybody goes through them. It's part of the landscape that we all are going to cross. If you think any field of endeavor, any ministry, you know, we talked about VBS today. Well, I'm going to volunteer for VBS. Yes, I think I will. And then you find out, well, they want me to do this, and I got to do this, and I don't like doing that, and this, or, you know, if something comes up at work, well, I was going to have the time, but now I got to do this, and extra things come on. I didn't know my child was going to be sick during this. You know what I'm trying to say? Things happen. Hardships come. You got to be able to just handle it. You got to be comfortable with hardship. If you're not comfortable with it, it will throw you. It will discourage you. You'll give up. You'll get down. But you just have to realize whatever you're going into, marriage, a new job, new relationship, ministry, you know, whatever it might be. My finances, we just had the financial seminar yesterday. Mike did a great job sharing that. You know, Mike said, you have to have an emergency fund. Things are going to break. Things are going to happen. You need some money set aside so when you go through an emergency, you got something set there. You know, it's the same with our spiritual walk. There's hard places, but you just have to be comfortable with it. Now, here's the third example from nature. Proverbs 30:27, the locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. Find your place in relationship with others. Find your place in relationship with others. What's a rank? A rank is like, I know my place. There's lines, you know. I remember watching a movie of how ants or locusts, they're all the same thing, how they go across streams. You think, well, they can't get across. And it's like they in this one particular thing I was watching, the locusts came and they sort of, like the first rank sort of fell, but the next rank just went over their bodies and over their body, and they just kept moving on the backs of the others. because they advanced in ranks. Who's afraid of a grasshopper? And yet there are countries when locusts come in and they just go and take a whole harvest field and just lay it barren because they're the synergy of the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And so just realize, if you're going to be strong, you have to find your place in relationship with others. See, all of these principles are speaking to the same thing. But the Bible's showing us different aspects of it. Have you found your place in the church? Have you found your place at your work? Have you found your place in your marriage? There are different roles in marriage. One role is not above another role or more important, but there are roles. And if you don't realize I have a role in this marriage, or I have a role in the church, I have a role at church or at work, whatever it might be, find your place in relationship with others and then give your all to it. And together we're going to be successful. Here's our last one. Proverbs 30:28. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in kings' palaces. Here's your fill-in. Hand-over-hand advancement. Hand-over-hand advancement. You can hardly go anywhere and not find spiders. When they're doing Buckingham Palace, they take the mop and they go along the edges because there are cobwebs up through there. Spiders are in every place. How did they get there? Hand over hand. Skillfully grasping with their hands and moving forward. You want to move forward. You want to achieve a destiny, a height, be in a king's palace, you know, achieve the top. It's hand over hand. Skillfully, hand over hand. In other words, and we'll just close with this. Whatever is in your hand, skillfully use it for the benefit of others. The Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it. You can sit back and say, well, I wish someone would discover me. I wish someone would recognize my talents and my abilities. I don't know why they got offered that and I didn't. Just do what your hand finds to do. Just help. Just get in. Whatever you do, and do it skillfully. Whatever's in your hand right now, use it skillfully for the benefit of the kingdom, for the benefit of others, and you'll find there's another hand. And then there's another hand. And you just go hand over hand, and it will take you to the top. It'll take you to your destiny. Strength of just being faithful in that which is little, and God will give us much. Now, we'll leave it at that, and I've gone past the time I would like to spend, so let's just stand together right now. A simple message, simple scriptures, but here is the point. Will you apply it, or will we just sort of stash it, as head knowledge? Oh, yeah, I know that. We need to work with others. Yeah, I can see why that person isn't getting ahead because they're not asking anyone to help them. You know, we are so quick to see how someone else needs this. But my prayer this morning is that this word would be personal to you. And that some aspect of this message, I don't know which part, but I'm sure some aspect of this message was relevant to you. And that the Holy Spirit is taking it to you to say, that's what you need to do. You need to be more like the ant. You need to be more like the locust. You need to be more like this. You know, some part of this message, God has spoken to you. And just determine right now, that's right in front of me. That's in my hand. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And God's going to increase our strength. And we're going to do mighty exploits for Him. Father, in this moment, I just pray. pray that this word will settle into our hearts. We'll be stronger as individuals, stronger as families, stronger as a church, as a result, Lord, of our hearing your word and applying it to our lives. Bless this people. May we be strong. May we be better together than we've ever been before. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to dismiss you. Sure to sign up for all the things. If you're newer to the church, I hope you come tonight to our home. If you'd like prayer, just remain behind. Come forward. There are people here in the congregation that will pray with you this morning. You are dismissed.